Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
When are you guys gonna learn? The more you indict, the more we unite. Facts. It's Trump 2024. We don't care. You heard me? We already made our mind up. You already know when the hood got your back. Man, they deep in the hood, gangsters. Hollin' about Trump 2024, you heard me? Woo woo! Wah! Gangsters! The hood got this man back. I'm just trying to tell you. You heard me? And we ain't stupid, man. American people, man. We ain't all them talking about lockdowns and back wearing the mask and all that. You know, they got a new virus coming and it's gonna be, man, nobody don't care. Ain't fooling nobody no more with none of that. You know, new jack, man, nobody being fooled no more. We all the way up, you heard me? It's Trump 2024. That's what it's gonna be, cause we ain't having nothing else.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour three of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. We're delighted to be with you. Let me just for a minute tell you about our podcast real fast, Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get your favorite listening materials. Go there, plug us in, Wendy Bell Radio. Download us onto your phone. It's such an easy way if you got to bounce and go do live your life to come back and listen to the program afterwards. It's nice and crisp and clean and easy and conservative and common sense, and it's home. And so we're great and so grateful that you're here. You know, this whole pushback idea, we do a lot on this program where we tell you about the suck. There is a lot of it. We live in a corrupt and abusive government. We have elected leaders who are in bed with communists and Marxists and jihadis and are themselves just dirtbags. I mean, I don't know how else to say it to you, but we are awakened and we share stories, the good and the bad. And this particular segment now, I think, is very inspiring because much like the drive I told you about as my husband Joe and I took our twins to a soccer tournament in Canton, Ohio over the weekend and enjoyed the lazy twists and turns of Route 30, the Lincoln Highway, through rural America, through hardworking, red-blooded, wonderful America. The message is being heard and it's out there. And you might not think it's loud. You might not think it's as numerous as it is in terms of this army of people we have who are done dancing around garbage. But they're there and they're watching and they're listening and they're paying attention and they're acting. So we stumbled upon this story over the weekend. It's beautiful. It takes us to a school in Indiana, if I'm not mistaken, East Central High School in Indiana, where a high school 17-year-old boy decided to go toe-to-toe with his school for something fundamental that he believed in. He was not going to waver. He was not going to take a knee. He wasn't going to make excuses. He wasn't going to apologize because he knows North is still North. Enjoy.
Wherever 17-year-old Cameron Blazek goes, so does Old Glory.
The flag itself represents this country, this beautiful country that we live in.
He fastened the flag to his truck this summer.
It's very strongly secured in there. I mean, you can't pull that out if you tried.
It abides by the U.S. flag code.
I got pulled aside by my counselor and vice principal, and they told me, hey, you got to remove the flag off the back of your truck. And I kind of looked at him, and I said, no. I said, it's not going to happen. I said, I can't.
Cameron held the line.
Read through East Central's 2023-2024 handbook, and the word flag wasn't even mentioned in the parking lot or driving section. The only section it's mentioned in is the flag twirling section.
Oy.
The next day at school, others showed up with flags of their own.
There was a huge support group there that believed and stood for the same thing that I did, and I was kind of shocked by that.
That's when the principal sent a letter to parents Friday to, quote, address recent concerns and confusions, writing, I am pleased to inform you that we are allowing the display of the U.S. flag by students in the parking lot. Principal Black clarified to WCPO in an email that there has never been a complaint about the U.S. flag. One literally hangs above the parking lot, and that school administrators decided Friday they would, quote, prohibit other flags if they were determined to be offensive. A social media post about all this went viral.
I was pretty surprised by it that it got so many views and pretty much that it got the attention it did.
There are veterans in this family, and Cameron himself is considering serving.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of him. He stood his ground and stood up for what he believed in.
The American flag has been politicized in recent years. One poll shows 83% of Republicans have a very positive view of the American flag. That number drops to 49% for Democrats.
I think everybody gets offended over something that doesn't mean what everybody says it does. This flag represents our country and the people who died for it and fought for it, and I respect that with my whole heart.
Old Glory, sparking new debate.
I think it's fantastic, and even more so that libs of TikTok is exposing so much and is having an instant impact. Instant impact. 24 hours later, right? The school says, well, maybe this isn't a fight we're going to wage. What is offensive at all about the American flag? What the hell is wrong with you people at Northwest's whatever school of suck? What is that? He stood his ground and stood up for what he believes in. This child is 17 years old. It's not negotiable. It wasn't on the bargaining table. The answer was going to be a big fat no to the taking down of the American flag. Why is it that I see very few flags in my exceedingly liberal neighborhood? But on the Lincoln Highway, driving to Canton, Ohio, almost every home has a flag. What is it? Well, that's one story of success, thanks to that young man for showing adults how to stand up and grow a pair. How about this one? A federal lawsuit against a school for forcing a 15-year-old student to read a pornographic script aloud in front of students. What the hell is this? Apparently, the case will not be dismissed as this school had hoped. Do you think maybe crazy has been pushed a little too far? Because I'm going to go with yes. Here's the story. WND.com. School forces girl to say D word. The D word is what we would call my father, whose name is Richard. That would be his nickname, right? School forces girl to say D word in graphic sexual assignment. It's so funny that the school will support a teacher who's clearly a freaking wacko who long ago stopped teaching and started activating the clone trooper chip. A federal lawsuit against a Nevada school system over a teacher's demands that a student read an offensive, sexually explicit, and obscene script written by another student is continuing. Ladies and gentlemen, my two youngest sons are 15. If they came home with garbage like this and they were supposed to read pornographic crap, I don't care if it's art or what. No! Full stop. I'm not being prude. I'm being a mom. Because that's what moms and dads do. The American Center for Law and Justice reports the court denied, in part, the school's demands that the case be dismissed. Hells yeah. The decision was, quote, the first step towards a victory in protecting students from profane, sexually explicit, and obscene material in the classroom. Look, kids get to be kids for such a small time. Can we not agree that it should continue at least through 15? Our client's daughter, who was 15 at the time, was required to perform a sexually explicit monologue prepared by another student and edited by the teacher before the entire class. The ACLJ posted part of the monologue edited, which readers may find offensive. Again, remember what the four-letter D word is. It began, I don't love you. It's not you. It's just your D. I don't like your D or any D in that case. It continues with progressively increasing profanity and description of sexual acts. What are we doing? I mean, I'm just more interested in my kids learning about basic U.S. government. How about that? How about some economics 101? How about that? Maybe we could do that. Reading, writing, STEM? No? We're going to create and read porn. Sounds like a great idea. What could possibly go wrong? The parents tried several times, several different avenues to bring their concerns to the school, found it unresponsive to their requests and complaints. How is this school any different than the wacko fire department head in New York and Letitia James now believing that they should go hunt down firefighters who booed Letitia James and started chanting Trump, 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 Trump? Who the hell do you people think you are? You see, we know who you are. We've never liked who you are. We tolerated who you were. And then you got a little power crazy. Then you got drunk off of it. And then you went nuts. And then you went after our kids. And then we came for you. And in this fight, if you think you're going to beat us over our kids, oh my, my. Oh, how wrong you are. Kudos to these parents. Kudos to the court. Time to find a new teacher in that literature class, don't you think? Push back. It actually works. Coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio program, we're going to talk about this. Do you guys hear how much Nikki Haley blew through to suck for the nomination to be the GOP's candidate for president? How useless this is? The dollars and cents of suck. We got it for you coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. I love this headline on the Gateway Pundit today, but I don't. It's so unnecessary and it's purposeful. It's purposeful to suck from the coffers of potential, funds to propel GOP candidates across America. Here's your headline. Ouch. Neocon Nikki blew $120 million on her failed presidential campaign. That's the equivalent of $1.3 million per delegate. Does nobody operate within the confines of responsibility, right? It seems like we're just so in excess. Anything that's extraordinary, that's outrageous, that is indefensible. Oh, yeah, we got to totally do that. What? Nikki Haley blew a staggering amount of money on her failed campaign from the Republican presidential nomination. This is according to Federal Elections Commission's records. The Daily Caller reported that when combining the donations from the Koch-backed Americans for Prosperity, their action whatever fund, and the pro-Haley SFA fund, as well as all the money spent by her official campaign, the effort to propel the former governor of South Carolina to do nothing cost $120 million. It's less than a year. $120 million. What do you want to... It's $10 million a month if we're just going to say she's been running for a year. She probably hasn't even been running for a year. Think about that. Nevertheless, a spokesperson for the Haley campaign told the caller that they, quote, believe all the money spent boosting Haley went to good use. Say what? 52-year-old finally suspended her campaign. You know this. Over the course of the campaign, she also racked up 89 of the 2,429 available delegates, averaging out at a cost of $1.3 million. Per delegate. I'm going to go with that's not money well spent. I'm going to go with that pig's lipstick ain't helping. That's some pork right there, friends. Republican Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen told local media that Haley should have dropped out earlier. Of course she should have dropped out early, but she is a part of the Uniparty. And anything that the Uniparty, party of John McCain, the party of Liz Cheney, the party of George Bush, the party of Mitt Romney, all of those people, that part of our party, which hopefully will go away and be done with soon, wanted to absolutely kneecap the GOP, the RNC, leading forward into this presidential election. Facts. Announcing that she would finally drop out, she refused to endorse Donald Trump, but left the door open for doing so at a later date. You're done, lady. Whomever was running your campaign gave you the worst intel, saying that you would sign the pledge, saying that whomever the nominee was going to be, you vowed to support, and then saying, well, I'm not really if it's Donald Trump, because you know what? The people who were in charge of the RNC when I signed my pledge are no longer there, so therefore, my pledge is null and void. You're a hack. You're a semantics-playing two-bit loser hack, Nikki. And by the way, don't try to come back. Nobody wants you. You and your husband will get your cushy job somewhere in some part of the military complex. You'll get paid for doing whatever because you did exactly what they asked you to do. Period. There you go. $120 million. Now, the thing that's fun, and we are going to have some fun in the bottom of this show in the next half hour, I want to play for you a very witty video that Brock found over the weekend and secured for us. You know the song. Who sings the original song, Brock? Do you remember We Built This City? Do you remember who that is?
I thought it was Boston, but I'm not sure.
No, We Built This City. Let me see.
Journey?
Starship.
Starship.
I would not have said it. I don't know. So this this is a takeoff of it, and it's a Joe Biden campaign song, perhaps. It's called We Killed This City, and I think you guys are going to enjoy it immensely.
We killed this city. We killed this city by voting Joe. Migrants might rob me or punch me in the face. Biden don't even care. He let them in this place. Junkies on the sidewalks, poop in broad daylight. Stores are forced to close, 'cause shoplifting's out of sight. Joe Biden's open border, rotting gangs from Mexico. Joe, don't remember, we killed this city. We killed this city by voting Joe. We killed this city. We killed this city by voting Joe. Killed this city. We killed this city by voting Joe.
Oh my gosh, could you watch it forever? It's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. It's fantastic. It's funny, and it's not. It's everything. And they want you desperately to believe it's neck and neck. Oh my gosh, it's going to be nail biter. It's going to go down to the wire. Don't go anywhere. The Wendy Bell Radio program is back right after this. We got in a conversation at our house last night about guns. And it's one of those touchy subjects that ought not be touchy, because there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of ignorance, not knowing about firearms. There's a lot of purposeful narrative of suck spreading. And this whole idea that if you are armed, if you are trained, if you are licensed, if you are legit, that you are no better carrying a firearm around than any goon out there who wants to create problems. That's not true, obviously. And if everybody had a gun, would there ever be any more gun violence? One might wonder that very thing. Now, people who don't like guns say, I can't handle guns. Get rid of all the guns. Well, that's not logical. It's not possible. And it's emotional and it's kind of silly. So how do you counteract people who are criminals, who steal and get guns on the street? They don't go through the system. They don't do what they're supposed to do, but they terrorize our communities. Well, your best defense is being able to defend yourself. And that means money, time, and training. And that's exactly what's going on in a Hartford, Connecticut, North End neighborhood. Now, this neighborhood and the people who are patrolling it now, they're done. They're done with their streets being the sites of violent murders. They're done with their streets being carjacked, all sorts of theft, broad daylight stuff, and filth. Garbage everywhere. And so these particular people who are armed and let everybody know that they are armed are going on armed patrols and trash pickups in the neighborhood. And some people on the left are like, oh my gosh, can you believe that? Well, you know what? If somebody with a gun is near you and you don't have a way to defend yourself and they've got bad intent, you're going to really wish somebody was nearby who'd be able to defend you because the cops ain't coming. I want you to hear this story. This is what taking back our streets, this is what making change at a local level is all about. It's about a group of citizens getting together on a street, neighbors, and saying, I'm freaking done. I'm done with the damn hypodermic needles. I'm done with the thuggery that happens at night. I'm done with the gunfire. I'm done with all of it. Let's get together. Let's do something. And in this Hartford, Connecticut community, they have. Listen.
Hartford's North End on Saturday.
We are legally armed. Legally armed. And we're patrolling.
A group of people look to patrol and clean up Garden Street.
It's important to come out here because we believe that we have to keep the community safe. We have to keep the community clean. And we're doing this by being out here for a few hours, cleaning up the community, picking up the trash.
Garden Street has seen its share of gun violence, including a double homicide in February, which is what prompted the push for civilian armed patrols.
The people on Garden Street came to us and asked us for help.
While there did not appear to be open carry, which is banned in Connecticut, organizers previously told us those armed would be licensed and have concealed weapons. They were part of Minister Cornell Lewis's self-defense brigade.
We are not vigilantes. We are a group of people that are disciplined, who train, who go to the shooting range.
The effort faces opposition, including from an anti-violence group and the Hartford mayor. Mayor Arunan Aralampalan wrote in part, our community has seen so much pain and trauma, and what we need is for those who love this city to do the hard work of healing that pain. The mayor added that the city did not need people being trained to walk the streets with guns and trying to take the law into their own hands.
Could anybody go to the gun range?
Earlier, there was a talk about gun rights, including how to get a permit, safe storage and carry, and personal use. The founder of the brigade says they plan to do the patrols a few times a week.
We'll be patrolling at night. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's going to be on a consistent basis.
Why would you get pushback from anti-violence groups? You should get support, resounding support, of course, because they're going to conflate that there are guns equals a propensity for violence when in actuality, the inverse is correct. If everybody walking around is armed with a firearm, right? And if the lion's share of the citizens who have a firearm on their person are also trained how to use it, and they walk the streets and they announce, we are armed, do you really think that criminals are going to come out and give it a try? Do you really think they're going to try to get into a gun fight? Are we going to have indiscriminate battles on our streets? Of course not. Because the average two-bit thug criminal realizes that anybody he might or she might walk up to and try to sucker punch or carjack or do something to could very well be carrying as well. And that doesn't end well for people who are thugs and bullies. So this is the conversation. We are not vigilantes, he says. That is one bit of good news. Cleaning up the garbage. Picking up the trash. Showing pride. Showing force. Being unified. you know as well as I that the right to bear arms is what protects us from our tyrannical government. And these people on the left will do anything they can to rob you of that right. Well, newsflash, leftists, when someone breaks into your house, cops ain't coming to help you either. And that frying pan ain't gonna cut the mustard. Here's a headline that I loved, and I think it's important. Tranny banned from beating women at golf. Men banned from competing on women's golf circuit. We've really wrung our hands to this degree. Like, I don't know. What do we do? Do we let dudes who are stronger and faster, whose skeletal frame is built completely different than the woman's, who have certain skills that women don't have, should we let them play in sports? Absolutely. That sounds fair. I mean, of course. Why wouldn't we? Said no one with a functioning cerebral cortex. Here's your story. WorldTribune.com. Men banned from competing on women's golf circuit. Trans golfer kicked off mini tour. What the hell has taken so long, people? Where's everybody else? Where's the stupid University of Pennsylvania of Suck? Well, I don't know. They still think chicks should be swimming with men. The Florida-based Women's NXXT Golf Tour has revised its policies and will no longer allow biological males to compete in its events. What really needs to be done is for the NXXT Golf Tour to dig down, to go deeper and find some granular data on who the moron is who thought it was a good idea in the first place. Dudes playing like chicks? For sure. Are you out of your mind? And isn't it amazing that there's never the inverse for women? Like, I'm not going to go run up against a guy. I'm not going to go join a basketball team and be better. So this is complete abuse of women. Finally, the decision was made after Haley Davidson, a man who identifies as a woman, won the NXXT Women's Classic at the Mission Inn Resort and Club in Orlando in January. Effective immediately, competitors must be a biological female at birth to participate. Isn't it so freaking sad that this is, we have to say this, that you have to say north is still north, that right is right and wrong is wrong, that a man cannot be a woman just because he wants to chop off something or stitch something else on, that a woman taking a pill can all of a sudden say that she's a dude? I mean, we are allowing and excusing and litigating insanity. It's called mental illness. And it ought not take this long for people to wake up and be like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No duh. The tournament win in January had put Davidson in contention to be among the five players at the end of the season to get exemptions to participate in the Epson Tour, which is the official developmental tour of the LPGA. Davidson also took home about $1,500 from this Women's Classic win. Davidson commented on the decision in an Instagram post on Friday, saying, effectively immediately, I've been banned from the next three NXXT tournaments that I had already signed up for and had been approved to play. They changed their policy mid-season after me signing up already and being second in the Player of the Year race. You're a dude! Did you guys get that? I want to make, you are a dude, right? What do we say? If you've got an apple, Brock, what do you have?
You've got a banana.
You've got a banana. And women don't have bananas. On the NXXT tour, Ms. Davidson.
She's got a tallywhacker.
What is going on? Okay, so it's good that this is happening. Isn't it infuriating that it's taken this long? Where are all of the people? Where are the folks with common sense who are like, you're kidding, right? The people with the tour. Not everybody was down with this, were they? No. But like our friend Ernie, who we posted about and shared some writings of at the beginning of the program in hour number one, They were afraid to say something. They were afraid to step out in front of it and be like, this is stupid. It's indefensible. It's pathological. And it's insane. Well, at least we've gotten there. All right, when we come back, my friends, I'm going to say it. It is the best Trump campaign ad ever. And it's put out by a leftist. I don't know if she knew what she was up to, but we do. Next. So we hope that you enjoy the show as much as we do, because we have a great deal of fun finding people out there and have so enjoyed libs of TikTok and all these other websites that show us people who are clearly absorbed in their own delusion and confusion and suck, right? And go out and try to make life more inconvenient for us, to make us bogged down in nonsense, to make us worried about stuff that doesn't matter while we have serious objectives in this country that aren't being addressed, right? And so there's this thing, Agenda 47. I'm going to go online while I have you guys here. Let's see, Agenda 47. I'm going to see if I can pull this up. It's not allowing me to because I did 457. Anyway, this is Donald Trump's basic plan for basically his reelection. When I become president, this is what I'm going to do. These are my priorities. So we found this video and it's great. It is a young woman. She has, I think, well, she's very good at being expressive of what Donald Trump's first 15 priorities are. And she's coming at this, in my interpretation, as a leftist who is kind of saying, can you believe, like, if this guy gets back into office, I want you to hear what this guy is all about, because it's kind of crazy. And we need to talk about this. Now, she's very calm and she's very fair in her delivery. Like, I could have a conversation with her. I like her. But she has no idea that what she's giving us is not some anti-Trump guidebook. It's a Trump campaign ad for president. Enjoy.
And here are the first 15 promises he has made if he is reelected. You may have heard of Project 2025, but this is from Agenda 47. And you can read all of these on his website. First, he promises that he will carry out the largest domestic deportation operation in history. He will also ask for the death sentence for anyone convicted of human trafficking. He will close the Department of Education and return all education standards to the states to decide. He will put prayer back into school, and he will criminalize any race-based advantage programs. He will end the Affordable Care Act. He will ban gender-affirming care for adults and children, and he will ban any federal dollars from going towards gender-affirming care, which means anyone with government-provided health care will no longer be able to access gender-affirming care except for Viagra and Cialis. Those will still be available. He will propose a constitutional amendment that gives a term limit to Congress. He will deploy the Department of Justice to investigate the Biden crime family and any of his adversaries or political rivals. He will immediately pardon all of the January 6thers, and he will create a task force to investigate anyone who arrested, charged, or imprisoned a January 6er. He will increase the penalties for underage criminal offenders, strengthen immunity for police officers, and deploy the National Guard to patrol woke cities. On day one, he will reassess our participation in NATO and says that every European country needs to pay the United States for protection. He will also restore the wonderful travel ban for Muslims coming to America. He will build freedom cities. This is 10 new cities built on federal land. He will award them to areas with the best development proposals, and he will prioritize moving young families to these freedom cities. He will kill all e-vehicles and e-vehicle legislation, seeking to replace that with the development of a flying car. He believes that we could create a car that vertically takes off. He will remove all of the limits on American natural gas exports and drill, baby, drill for oil domestically. He will impose a tariff of up to 60% on Chinese imports. He will extend the 2017 tax cuts and drop the corporate tax rate from 21% to 15%. He will push Congress to pass legislation that would give every American the right to concealed carry anywhere at any time. And he will revoke any gun restrictions or legislation that seeks to inhibit people's ability to own guns that's been passed in the last several years. He will demand that Europe pay back all the money we gave Ukraine, and then he will use all of that money to recruit for the American military. And he will take billions and billions of dollars from private university endowments by taxing, fining, and suing the universities. He specifically names Harvard in this one. And then he will use that money to create the American Academy. It is a free online college that will be free of wokeness that he will force employers to recognize as a bachelor's degree equivalent. So that's Agenda 47.
And thank you for that fine assessment of it. Did you disagree with a single thing that you just heard? Did anything there sound radical to you? Did anything there seem as though it stomps on other people's freedoms or personal liberties? Or does it just sound like he wants to peel back the crazy and get back to basics? Let's get back to educating people. Let's create a university where you can get an education without all of the garbage. Let's allow you to carry. Did you hear what Wyoming is doing? Wyoming is very close to having a measure go through that legalizes concealed carry in previous gun-free zones where, you know, 82% of shootings since 1998 have taken place. These are not indiscriminate ideas. These are not fly-by-night talking points. These aren't overhead projector points to score with you. This is called reality. It's called getting back to the basics. And every single thing that we just heard should be executed quickly on day number one. Now, of course, the left wants you to believe specifically about the guns that you and other people having access makes other people unsafe, that makes the world more dangerous. I absolutely deny that. Absolutely deny that. You're not going to get away. You're not going to get rid of guns. Getting people who are honest, law-abiding citizens who went through the process to get the guns lawfully are not going to surrender their firearms when you've defunded the police, you've demonized them as racially motivated killers, and now all of a sudden nobody wants to join. Nobody wants to put their life on the line to be spit on. Nobody wants to be a firefighter when you've got some toxic witch in charge who believes in hunting you down and re-educating you. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem we have in this country is with the left. Hook, line, and sinker. Thank you very much. We'll be here all week. Come on back 21 hours from now. Until then, you guys, peace.